never rests.
All right, welcome in. Georgia Show back up with you. Sorry we missed last week, guys. It was a busy, busy one. Jake Rowe had to be on the road for some family stuff. I know Rusty Mansell getting the latest with some of the top prospects in the state of Georgia down south. And look, I just can't do it without these guys, all right? So, I can't just be flying solo. What are you fucking doing? I mean, it's not fun just listening to me.
Come on, man.
Happy to be back with you guys and be chatting here on the Georgia Show on your Sunday night. A little earlier than normal. We figured we'd go ahead and knock this one out. It's Rusty. Like I said, we missed last week, but It's not like we've just missed a ton of news. There's a few things to catch up with over the course of the last couple of weeks. And I think the big thing is there's a few new titles on this Georgia staff. We got some elevation of some names. Some things getting switched around at various places. The big one, and I guess let's start off with that, is Andrew Thacker, who had been working as an analyst, I believe, for the Bulldogs, and now gets elevated up into a role where he's going to be coaching the star/nickel position. And now, for those of you who haven't been following along, the coaching staff is pretty well unlimited at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, you can put that guy out there. You can only still have 10 on the road, right?
Correct.
But as far as on-field coaches, you're pretty well free to do whatever you want. Andrew Thacker, Rusty, give the people some background on this guy, how he came to Georgia, what the connections are there. And then also, too, I'm curious to hear why you think that he got this step up.
Well, he's a former DC at Georgia Tech, I believe. And Brent Key had made a change there and brought someone else in. But Andrew Thacker came over to Georgia, been kind of working behind the scenes as one of the defensive analysts, a guy that certainly has a pretty good long resume already. But I can just get right to it. And I'll just say it. It sounds like Miami came after him, tried to hire him as their safeties coach. And, you kind of look and you want to go on the field. But Kirby Smart and obviously – probably come down to Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann to make a decision. Hey, this guy is somebody that we kind of covet. He's done a great job for us. And they were able to hire him and give him a title and a position. He will be coaching the nickels, safety position, nickel start, safety position type deal there. And this is a guy that we don't have the exact numbers, but I'm sure you'll see a good raise for him when that information comes out. And that's what you want. You know what I mean? I say this all the time. If you're hiring the right people and, your people are trying to hire your guys, and Andrew Thacker looks like one of those ones that Georgia was able to keep. And, from talking to a lot of people in the building, that was one of those deals where, the Georgia really, really wanted to keep him and they found a way to do it. So he won't be on the road, but he will be an on-the-field coach. Now, you can mix that 10 up. It's not as flexible as some people think. But he can be, if they do rotate some guys out, at times you used to see like Scott Cochran, who'd be on the road some and some of those types of things, they can switch that up. So it's not like he'll never be on the road for Georgia. But right now, the plan, from my understanding, is he will be a defensive coach. He will be on the field coach, but not one of the guys on the road. Doesn't mean he doesn't recruit a lot of guys, when they come on campus and those types of things. So, good one for Georgia. You come in, you kind of basically, Kirby Smart gets to see you every day. Glenn Schumann gets to see you every day. What do you bring in meetings? And obviously, Georgia did not want to lose him. So that's a good job there.
Yeah. I mean, you go look at the numbers, right? I mean, you've got, I guess what, including Glenn Schumann, is that three defensive coordinators at one point or another? I mean, that are now on your staff. I mean, T-Rod has had the title before and is the co-DC right now. But you bring the guy like this in, that gives you three guys with coordinator experience now.
And Muschamp's still part-time.
Right, exactly. Sure. I mean, it's not like he's just out there kicking rocks either. So, a really interesting addition, I thought, for Georgia. And really, to me, Rusty, looking at that position, that star/nickel position, it's become a really big focus. And it's, to me, one of those things that's rare to fill. But you got to find the right kid to go to that position. A guy's got to take that role and kind of run with it. And if you do it, you do it well, you can make yourself a lot of money. But
Tacky Smith. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But, it's not as sexy as just being a cornerback.
Correct.
For sure. And so I think that this was a really interesting move. It gives Georgia three heads now back there in that defensive backfield room, which is kind of crazy to think about. You know, I'm curious, Rusty, looking at that room going into this year, I mean, kind of what are your thoughts as to what Andrew Thacker is going to be walking into? I mean, it feels like there's kind of a lot of options to go with here.
You know, they obviously went out and got some guys, so who's going to do that? You look at Jonel Guerra, the guy that played it. At times they did Malachi Starks last year. I felt like, you know, they moved him into that star position to do some things. So they've always created a little bit of flexibility. I think Rooster, one of the biggest things has helped that position is the use in NFL. I mean, that position has really took off in the NFL scheme-wise. A lot of people are using that nickel slot safety guy, you know, to in those packages. So that's helped Georgia and teams like Alabama that use that defensive package there. So, you know, Jonel Guerra is a guy you look at, you know, where do these transfers, who fits into that? That is something that will really – the safety – I've said it on you know, chats on Dogs HQ. I know there's a ton of eyes on wide receiver. I know there's a ton of eyes on the offensive line. But I'm telling you right now, Georgia went out and got three safeties. Like they understood what's going on in that room, and I think there's a lot of time. You lose Dan Jackson to Malachi Starks. I think there's a lot of minutes there at safety. And, you know, what do they do with Jonel Guerra? Can they move him? But does he come back in the back end? Does that free up that star position? I don't know where all these guys they are bringing in actually fit, but we will get it. We'll have a better kind of a knowledge of that after spring practice with these guys. But very interesting. There's a lot of minutes in the safety room and these guys that went out and got some players. So we'll see how that thing plays out.
Yeah, definitely going to be an interesting one, man. I think that, you know, like I said, the focus seems to be clear that they want a definite focus on the secondary this year. Mm-hmm. And this only speaks to that further. And like you said, hey, you want guys hiring your guys away. They didn't want to lose this guy, especially to a team like Miami. Rusty, another change here off the field, but James Ellis. Give us a little bit about who James Ellis was and what he did and now who he is.
He's, you know, there's a lot of key people off the field, and I can't sit here and name everybody because it would take a while. But, you know, you look at James Ellis, you look at Logan Reed, and you look at Angela Kirkpatrick, you look at Will Myers, you look at David Cooper, you know, you look at D Hill, all these guys that you follow on social media. These are key components of what Georgia does off the field. Everybody has a role. James Ellis is a guy that kind of our good buddy Matt Godwin, he worked under Matt Godwin, so he kind of took some of that role. He's a lot, from what I understand, James Ellis does a lot of film review with Kirby Smart. When Kirby Smart goes to watch tape, when it's one-on-one, he'll watch that tape with James Ellis. They'll go over players. He does a lot of organizational stuff off the field. I think Will Myers is kind of the director of that whole department. And, you know, those guys are – you don't hear their name a lot, but trust me, they're very important roles. And from my understanding, another SEC school came after James Ellis, and Kirby elevated him, gave him most likely a raise and a title. So – you'll see that things, but there, you know, there's ladies involved in this too. You know, you look at Angela Kirkpatrick and Logan Reed. Those are two girls that if you follow Georgia football, you follow social media, you see them everywhere. They're always with, you know, the players and prospects. And I remember, you know, KJ Bolden's mom talking about she loved them and talked about Jaden Riddell's mom when we met her in Nashville for the On Three Elite, you know, talked about Georgia off the field and how structured they were and their visits and how everybody just kind of felt at home. So, you know, those are big pieces of the puzzle you don't hear a lot about. But when you hear something like that kind of pop up and you see James Ellis take the director of scouting, that usually says, hey, you're getting a raise, you're getting a title, and, you know, Kirby Smart didn't want to lose him either. So, you know, it is not front page news, but trust me, those things, those pieces are they're really valuable in what they do day to day. And look, it's, you know, it's a demanding room. It's a demanding department. Kirby Smart from coordinators to the people that are, you know, cleaning the freaking turf that are, you know, brushing the turf up every day. Like, everybody is held accountable. That's one thing I've always been told about Kirby Smart. I ask people that, you know, work for him. They're like, dude, you don't take a damn day off. If you take a day off, you're going to get caught. Like, he's going to ask you a question you're not going to be prepared for. So, you know, if Kirby's smart, if you've been in that building that long and that guy goes, I don't want to lose you, I think everybody should feel certain that that's a good piece of the puzzle for Georgia to have.
Yeah, and, you know, you said that, and I was thinking that along the way, that not only is it a good piece of the puzzle for Georgia to have, but it takes a unique individual to work for Kirby Smart.
You gotta have a little something in your neck. You know what I mean?
Right, like, right. So to have a guy like this, who's James Ellis, has been around for some time with the Georgia.
Yeah, program. I think 2019. I think he was a student. Yeah,
right.
And so kind of went through the ranks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been through it a long time. He understands how this stuff works, how these guys are kind of wired, what the expectations are, and you can't really recreate some stuff like that. I mean, that's pretty key in all.
Probably of takes. You imagine the turnover of like training someone. You know what I mean? So, you know, even when Matt Godwin left and they hired a Will Myers, who came in, who was doing the director player personnel at other places, you know, I'm sure it took him a while to, you know, get accustomed to how things are done at Georgia and those types of things. But, yeah, it takes a certain type of individual to be able to hold your own in that room. But, if you're that type of person and you're successful, then certainly you are rewarded, with titles and jobs. And, you know, it's why it's so coveted. You look at Buster Faulkner, a lot of people talk about Buster Faulkner. I talked to Buster one time and he said, look, man, he was the offensive coordinator at Southern Miss, had a great year. He couldn't really get an interview. He couldn't figure out what was going on. You know what I mean? So the one thing he wanted to do, he wanted to put George on his resume. And he came to Georgia. He took a pay cut. He came off the field. He was an offensive coordinator. He came off the field to put George on his resume and work under the Georgia staff, and, you know, worked out well for him. So there's a lot of people that try to get into Georgia and try to get that on their resume and kind of pick the brains of Kirby Smart and his staff to see, hey, how do they do things? Why are they so successful? And it makes you more valuable to other people, like, hey, this guy's been at Georgia. He kind of knows how they do things. Let's bring this guy here and see if he can implement it here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rare breeds, these guys. Also, one more guy we wanted to touch on real briefly, because I just thought this was an interesting addition, Rusty. On the support staff, you bring in Ty Hatcher, who, if you're not familiar with that name, perhaps you're more familiar with Chris Hatcher, who is Chris still at Samford?
He's the head coach of Samford. He's in the Air Raid family with Hal Mummy and all those guys that kind of went through that together. I think Chris Hatcher was the first person to ever hire Kirby at Valdosta State.
That is correct.
His son, Ty's been at Alabama. He's been at Texas A&M, I think, early on. He's like 24, 25 years old. He's going to help work with quarterbacks some, too, and some of those things. But, you know, you bring these young guys in, and you think about it, Glenn Schumann was on the field at Georgia at 26. You know what I mean? Because he worked 4 years for Kirby Smart in that room. God knows what he went through for those 4 years. That's a student assistant. You know what I mean? Can you imagine being a student assistant for Kirby Smart for 4 years?
Oh,
and guess what? The day that Kirby Smart got the job at Georgia, the very first person he hired was Glenn Schumann. And I remember seeing the tweet, and he was going to see Chauncey Manick, I think. Was that down in Clinch County?
Yeah, yep.
Chauncey Manick. I remember seeing the picture of Glenn Schumann in a plane, and like he tweeted, like, go Dogs or something. And I was like, who in the hell is that? You know what I mean? But later on, you find out, you know, who these guys are. So, you know, these guys are young, but don't think some of these guys are on fast track. And knowing who he is, knowing the mindset that probably he's come from and some of the things he's seen, that's a good hire for Georgia to get these young guys in and get them some work and kind of see where they are.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, look, you go look at this guy's resume. He's been with Bill O'Brien. He's been with Bobby Petrino already. He's been he was at Oklahoma last year. I mean, this guy, for 24 years old, pretty well traveled,
man.
Some pretty good minds to be around as well.
Yeah.
Interesting one for sure. And I know as soon as you say that word air raid, Rusty, it gets people, the light bulb sets off for a lot of people. So, speaking of the light bulb switching on, look, get over to Prize Picks, man. Check it out. You can get over there today. Look, it's NBA season. I hope you know more about it than I do. I'm not personally the NBA guy, but if you are, you can stand to, profit off of that and do well for yourself. Look, it's a skills-based fantasy. It's a daily thing, so you can go in and make these changes, all right? It's a chance to make money every night. When football's on, they got it. They've got hoops. You can clearly see that. When baseball's back, they'll have that too. It doesn't matter. If they're playing, they've got it. Okay, so get over to Prize Picks, check it out, and use our code DOGS50. Our dogs to get $50 on the first deposit and a play of $5 or more. Like I said, that code again, dogs, DAWGS, that gives you $50 on your first deposit and a play of $5 or more. Go have some fun with Prize Picks, man. Like I said, look, if you're the NBA guy, send me some tips, man. I need some help too. I need to know what to do, man. But go make the most of it because you got a great opportunity to do that right now. There's some NHL. On here, maybe I'm sure they had Four Nations Face Off on there.
Yeah. So. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You can get some soccer. Atlanta United, evidently, they're pretty good too. So yeah, I actually went to a Hawks game. I won Hawks game of the year, and I've been undefeated like 5 years in a row. I used to go to one Hawks game a year. I went Thursday night and they got beat.
So. Oh man, come on. Well, listen, get over to Prize Picks. That'll take some of the sting away. Like I said, code DAWGS, $50 on your first play, $50 on your first play of $5 or more. Rusty, let's talk about what's ahead, man. It's kind of an interesting time to just be following things because it's a little quieter. You know, you're not seeing as much in terms of the rushed recruitments anymore. Kids are stepping back a little bit, playing their hand. They want to take the visits. The visits probably more important than they've ever been right now.
Yep.
The team kind of still chilling a little bit. I'm sure there's a little bit of, you know, throw-in session kind of stuff going on behind scenes. But
there is.
You know, in terms of what's ahead these next couple weeks, spring practice will be here before we know it. But what do you do between now and that time?
Two things pretty clear here. And Georgia's a little different than most universities. I have no idea. But Georgia's spring break's a lot earlier than most spring breaks. In fact, I believe Georgia's spring break is in 2 weeks, which is insane, like the first week of March. So Georgia will have this week. What's that? This week and next week. And then they'll go make sure I got my calendars right here. So Georgia will have this week, and then they'll have spring break from like the 2nd through the 8th. So, yeah, Georgia got one more week of workouts, and then they go to spring break. The good thing is they come back, you know, basically wherever you're from on the 8th, March 8th. God, they have a team run on the 9th. I can't even imagine that team run. I can't even imagine what Kirby puts those guys through. But when they get back from that, they go start spring practice. So we're about 2.5 weeks away, man, from spring practice. We'll have pro day. Kirby will have the coaching clinic. So, listen, we don't have to beat around the bush and knock on wood. You know, it's been a really good offseason so far. And, you know, and no news is good news for everybody right here. And these kids seem to be getting after it pretty hard. And you know, got one more week. I think this is the week that most of the coaches will be watching the kids work out. They get to spend some time with them. Those 6 a.m. runs in the Sanford Stadium and those types of things. They'll come back from spring break. Jake, what's crazy, those kids will come back from spring break. You just say March the 9th, you come back spring break, you come back in campus. Man, they really don't stop until the end of May. Like they go straight to spring. They go straight to spring practice. They go straight into final exams, you know, right there at the 1st of May. And then they get about 2 weeks off. And then when they come back from the 2 weeks off, they got all summer to work out. So, you know, these kids get very little time down. They will get that. And but they're working out, doing those types of things. And then I'm telling you, man, we're 2.5 weeks from go time, which is very exciting. In the combines this week, I saw Warren Brinson just posted right before we started this Instagram that, I mean, he actually was walking into the building in Indianapolis. So, that's cool. You know, those guys have got to have some good feeling walking back into that building, you know, after the national championship in there a couple of years ago. So a lot of news this week will be on combines. Tony Griffin, catch you here. What's your opinion on canceling spring games?
Let's hold off on that one. I want to roll that into the last segment.
Okay, that's fine. But yeah, we'll get to that. So that's kind of where we are. You know, this is one more week of running, working out as a team. Then they'll get that 1 week of spring break. And when they come back from spring break, it's on, man. You see that, Tyke Smith. Yeah. Somebody those mornings had me questioning myself.
Mornings had me questioning myself.
No doubt, man. Pushing those bags. My gosh, man. And they got those. You see that people see those kind of like sports bras. It looked like those are the catapult vests they wear. And Man, every rep is counted. Like they have your, you can't take a rep off because they know your output. They look at you and bless those kids' hearts, man. They're earning it right now.
Rusty, like you said, combine coming up this week, and we should definitely touch on that a little bit. I am curious, any bold predictions for this combine? Anybody that you really think going to get out there and maybe make some noise that we haven't been talking about yet?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised, but I think Aaron Smith has a chance to be the fastest guy there. I mean, Aaron Smith is about to blister this thing. Now, consistently, does he have a really good showing? I think he had a good Senior Bowl, and can he carry that up? You know, he's not a natural ball catcher, and we don't have to sit here and get into that. But I think teams are going to be blown away. I'm telling you right now, Kirby Smart, teams that are calling about Arian Smith, I'm telling you right now, he is telling them this is one of the best kids ever coached. This is a kid that, even though he went through some struggles, man, he fought his ass off for Georgia. He did everything. He extra repped. He did everything he could to be the best player at Georgia. It just wasn't consistent enough. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to test off the charts this week. I'm interested in Smile Munden. You know, I'm hearing Smiles in that 4.55 range. If Smile Munden comes in, just say he's 225, 230 this week. And if he runs 4.55, I'm going to project right now Smile Munden will go late second round. I think Jared Wilson could be the first center. So I don't have any concerns on the Georgia kids testing. I think they're going to be in shape. I think they got great tape. Look, man, after what Philly did, this season and what publicity these Georgia kids are getting. I'm telling you, I've been doing this long enough to know these NFL guys are going to go, something's up. Okay. Those kids they're playing their ass off and they're getting better. Like N'Kobe Dean got better. Nolan Smith gotten better. Jordan Davis has gotten better, you know, in that neck of the woods up there. So Georgia fans, you know, there's going to be some teams that are going to reach for some players that go, you know what? I'm going to take that kid from Georgia over this other kid. We might have 10 spots higher just because we've seen results. So that's going to pay for those benefits. That's going to benefit those guys.
I think so. I think so in a huge way. I'll tell you the one I'm probably most excited about just because I feel like he got questioned a little bit this year, but I think he's going to test off the charts and remind people of who he is, Malachi Starks.
Oh, yeah.
I think Malachi, that he's not a projected first rounder right now, but he's the guy is going to test off the charts.
Dude, he was a 24 foot long jumper? He was state champion, if you remember. Right.
Exactly. Yeah,
the only two people I've ever heard of doing 24 foot long jump were Reggie Brown and Malachi Starks. Like a 24 foot long jumper is insane.
His combine is going to be very well rounded, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great point.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see if Arian runs 4.2. That dude can float now. I'm telling you, that dude can float, man. He can
float. Absolutely. I'm excited. I love the combine, man. Always.
Me too. God, I mean, I got a problem. Like I will. Like man, people make fun of me about the combine. I'm telling you, like I'll watch three different replays. Like yeah, I will watch absolutely. That. That's my cup of tea now.
All right. Now, listen, hey, speaking of building your franchise, all right.
There we go.
Combine, myperfectfranchise.net, Andy Ludeke and the boys. You know this one. You love these guys. They do a great job for us. Are you a displaced corporate executive who wants to put your career in your own hands? Or maybe you're an experienced entrepreneur who wants to diversify. Andy and the boys at myperfectfranchise.net can help you. They're huge college sports fans. They're franchise veterans. They've owned multiple franchises and businesses. And they take all that experience and they help you find your American dream. They do it through consultation and evaluation. They want to help you put your life and career in your hands. And the service is 100% free to you. You got nothing to lose except putting your life in your own hands. Get over, check out myperfectfranchise.net. Go talk to Andy and the boys. They'll get you set up and look forward to hearing your experience with them. Rusty, we're going to take a couple of questions here from the board. I posted this last week. Like I said, we didn't do the show. But I do want to get to Tony Griffin's question because I think it's a really good one. Your opinion on canceling spring games. Texas came out this week and said, hey, we're moving away from the spring game. You know, Matt Rhule has said the same thing. His reasoning, he didn't even really try to hide it. He just said, I don't want them stealing my players and scouting my players. I think that sucks. I think that's a bad mentality to have. But neither here nor there. I'm against it personally. I think it's I told somebody the main reason for me that I am against canceling spring games is because I know several people who could never afford to go to a Georgia game, could never afford to get inside Sanford Stadium, but they love that team as much as anybody who donates $100 million.
Amen.
They watch it every Saturday, man. They are red and black. They got it on their car. They got it on their shoes. They got it everywhere they can have it. And that G-Day game, man, gave them the chance to get in there, be by that field that they love so much, watch that team they love up close and personal, see Kirby Smart with their own eyes. I can't get down with it for that reason, man. It means so much for those people, and I think that it sucks to move away from that. To me, it's a self-inflicted knock on tradition from these guys.
Do you want me to just get right to it, and I can give you my gut feeling?
Yeah.
They don't want to put a depth chart out. They don't want to have starters. They don't want to have people on TV not starting. They don't want to have – listen, I don't think it's as much – here's the thing with my Matt Rule, okay? If you don't think that people can't get your freaking tape and watch your team, I can assure you they can watch 15 games of Nebraska football and they know your roster. Okay. So he can say what he wants. I'm telling you right now, they don't want to put a depth chart out. They don't want to have kids, not starting on TV because you know why? Because there's a freaking May portal window and it's going to be World War III. And don't think that somebody's not going to Georgia and going, hey, saw you didn't start this weekend. Guess what? Our wide receiver, he left and we got a job wide open. You know what I mean? So it comes down to, listen, we don't have enough time. But I'm telling you right now that the way it is on TV and starting and not starting and depth charts and those types of things and who's getting twos and who's getting threes. And that plays a part of it. I guarantee you, because I tell you this, I have talked to multiple SEC coaches, multiple, not just at Georgia. And they all love spring practice and they all want spring practice. Well, not everybody wants a game, but everybody wants spring practice because that's where you get better. You know what I mean? You really get reps. You really find out who they are, you know. If you're not having spring practice, what's the purpose of these mid-years coming in? You know what I mean? And these guys. So I don't think just from the people that I know that anybody's in threatened of losing spring practice. Now, these spring games you're starting to see, that might be to where the OTAs and those types of things. And, hell, why don't you just let Georgia – do an OTA with Virginia or Virginia Tech, or why don't you let Georgia Tech do an OTA with Auburn? You know what I mean? And, you know, no scoreboard, but let fans come in and watch an OTA. That's cool. You know who does that? The NFL does that.
Right.
You know, the Dolphins and the Falcons every year get together and practice for 2 days. So there's different things you can do, but I'm with you, man. And we just happen to cover a team where the spring game is a big deal and people tailgate, and that's a big deal. But it's not that way everywhere, but I can tell you, I don't care. I haven't talked to Matt Rule, and I don't know anybody that has talked to Matt Rule in my sources, but I'm telling you right now, it's. I guarantee you, he does not want to do a spring game and have depth charts and people seeing on TV who's not starting and those types of things.
No, it makes sense to me. And listen, you know, we were talking about those mid-year guys. For me, I think so much of it, too, I was arguing with some people on the board, it's spring practice gets you – it's going to familiarize you with the playbook, but it's also getting you into strength and conditioning. It's also getting you into the nutrition. It's also getting you just kind of used to the mentality of what college is. And that gives you such a jump, man. There's a reason you've seen those numbers of early enrollees go skyrocketing compared to what they used to be. So that's a huge one for sure. Rusty, this one from Air Force Dog over on the dog walk at Dogs HQ. He says, which 2025 signee, and I know this is early, but even pre-spring practice people are already on this. Which 2025 signee do you think could have the largest impact on this season?
Well, I have a motto and I've always talked about it. My theory and kind of motto is the further away from the ball you are, the easier it is to play. Now, what does that mean? You take the center who has the ball, and if you're close to that, it's harder to play, meaning an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman. The further you go out, the more athletic you can be, and it's not a big man's game. So if you use that theory, you're looking at, you know, maybe a defensive back. You're looking at a wide receiver. I do think Elijah Griffin is, you know, he's a defensive lineman. And you know, if you're going to look at the whole season, I'd like to see where he's going to be for midway on, because I do think he's going to play real minutes for Georgia. And I do think as the year goes on, we talked about it all the time, Jordan Davis didn't play much until like week 9 at Florida. Past that bye week, and once they put him in, things got different for Georgia. So, you know, you look at that and you go, okay, where are the minutes from 2025 guys? Where is available? Well, you obviously it's wide receiver, and that room is pretty open. So, you know, you did bring in some guys through the portal, but if you're looking at high school kids, I think you got to start with Talon Taylor and CJ Wiley. Can one of those two kids, or can both of them, get into the real rotation? I think both of them have a really good chance, and I've heard a lot of good things about both so far. And you know, Elias Williams and all these guys. So, to me, the further away, the more athletic you can be. You just learn the playbook and let these guys go, because you're not having a freaking guard pound you there, or you're trying to, you know, control two gaps and those types of things. It's a little bit more thinking there than giving CJ Wiley a route and saying, hey, go get this ball, man, and we're gonna put it up for you. So we'll see there. But I like the young skill players at Georgia for sure.
Go, if you haven't read the piece from Pete Nakos, go over and make sure you check that out about some of the spring buzz, early enrollee buzz. That Elijah Griffin note will probably get you a little excited.
Yeah, we had a note on him, and I kind of made some notes, you know, the past 2 weeks. You know, I asked people and they're like, yeah, this guy's he's kind of who we thought he was. And you know, Charles Power, if you take the quarterback position out of it because of how things are, I think Charles would tell you that Elijah Griffin is one of the top two or three players in America, regardless of position.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I remember speaking to him. He said, I think in the last 5 years, he was as good as anybody that they had evaluated, one of the top defensive linemen, period.
Yeah.
Huge, huge expectations. Sounds like he is kind of living up to it. One more here we'll take, Rusty, and it's team related from Desire over on the board. He wants to know who are some guys you might be expecting to step up in the leadership roles this year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, spring practice coming, guys are going to be having to find that voice. I'm curious who kind of steps out to you as maybe potential guys to take those reins.
I think offensively, you look at a guy, you know, you look at Gunner, because he's in a battle for the job, but he's been there for a long time. And you know, he carries some weight. You saw the way the players reacted to him. Obviously, he's got to be in there. You see Jordan Hall on that tweet they put out. Those guys are, get him there. I think Kristen Miller is a kid that, you know, you and I both covered him. He's a really vocal, really charismatic kid. I mean, we all loved covering him. I think maturity, like, he took the biggest step of anybody. Like, he was so pouted up at times. You know, he got in a portal, he left, he got in a portal, you know, a couple of times he flirted. And from everything I was told, Christian Miller said, you know what, I'm going to grow my ass up. And he had a great year. He got hurt now. But I think Christian Miller is going to be a big piece of football. I think he's a big leader in the locker room. Kids love him, kind of like him, those types of things. So, you look at these guys, you know, and you kind of say, who are those guys? Could Nate Frazier, you know, he started right as a freshman. Can KJ Bolden? I know KJ Bolden really well. He's a vocal type kid. Yeah, we see that right here.
Yeah, he said swagger. He does. KJ's got some swagger, man. He knows KJ knows how good KJ is.
KJ's an easy. You know what I mean? Like, he's an easy player there. You know, and he's a seasoned guy now. He's went through the entire season. I think, really, truthfully, probably for me, I think CJ Allen's a guy that, if you want to say who's the alpha, I think CJ Allen is that guy, probably, for Georgia, of the entire locker room. And I'll say this, I've told this story many times, but maybe not on here. I went to watch him at Lamar County High School work out, and it was, you know, typical, pretty tough high school workout. And I talked to the coach and I said, Coach, you know, tell me something about CJ. And he said, hey, he said, I'll tell you something about him. He said, he's got 40 offers, whatever he's got. He goes, we had a high school track meet here a couple weeks ago, and my wife and family were hungry. as soon as it was over with, I said, okay, let's just go eat and I'll come back and lock everything up and clean up everything. Didn't tell anybody. He didn't have to. He's the head coach there. He said he left. They went to dinner down the street. Family. They came back. The lights were on. And he says he sees kind of a person in the bleachers and the place is cleaned up. And he said he walks up and it's CJ Allen. And there were bags of trash lined up at the track on where CJ himself had come cleaned up all the cups. He put the hurdles up. I mean, nobody asked that kid to do that. And here's a kid that was he's the number one player from that school. You know what I mean? He's the five-star kid. Nobody asked him. But when you're wired like that, when you lead by example and you do things like that, he didn't ask for any publicity. He just did it. And the coach told me, he said, Rusty, I've never experienced anything like that. And you start hearing stuff like that about a kid and you see why he's going to wind up being a three-year starter for Georgia and why I think he's that piece of the puzzle. He's that guy in the locker room. He's the guy that's going to be on that leadership committee, leadership council they have. And I'll be shocked if he's not selected one of the team captains when the players vote.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, look, hey, combine week. It's exciting.
I might run one this year.
There you go. All right. I like it. There's some great stuff over at Dogs HQ. Jeremy Johnson had a ton of stuff.
Oh, great piece.
Awesome. Rose been doing the Run It Back series. We've had latest updates with all these guys getting offers. Make sure to go check those out. That Daryl Rivers kid, man. I'm interested in that guy.
Definitely, yes.
An interesting body on that kid. But we've got tons of stuff coming there. We've got all the combine coverage coming as well. So get over to Dogs HQ. Check it out. We'll see you over there, and we will catch you later this week. I think a Dogs HQ Plus might be on the horizon. We will.
How about that?
But definitely, we'll see you next Sunday.
Dylan Brooks, Georgia is not canceling spring game. I can tell you that. We're good.
There you go. All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great evening.